Podcast 46, The Four Loves. The Gospel reading for this podcast is John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. This week, the Gospel passage from John 15 is talking about love. As the Beatles would say on their song released in 1967, all you need is love. Rather than focus on commentary of the Gospel reading, I'm going to do some analysis about the word love, based on the book by C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. Published in 1960, the same decade as the Beatles, this book is an analysis of the four Greek words for love used in the Bible. Now, Greek has the advantage over English in this regard, in that there are four distinct and different words for the English word love. Today, love is overused and undervalued at the same time. We love everything, from various foods to cars, from movies to retailers, from people to God himself. The four words Lewis analyzes are storge, affection, philia, friendship, eros, romantic and erotic love, agape, God's unconditional love, which Lewis calls charity. So today's sermon is a kind of a book review, but an attempt to unpack the different kinds of love we may experience in our lives, and which are also described in Scripture. As we know, Scripture tells us that love is the highest attribute. Love is one of the key themes of the Bible, and Scripture verses about love are plentiful, including our Gospel reading today. The word love, agape, occurs 8 times in 4 verses. In all, the word love occurs 731 times in the Bible. The Apostle John, in his letter, attributes love as one of the characteristics of God. He says in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Paul also agrees with John about the primacy of love in the Christian life. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give up over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So let's look at the four types of love found in the Bible and analyzed by C.S. Lewis. The book is based on a radio series Lewis did with the BBC a few years prior to the book's release. Note that Lewis doesn't disparage any of these loves or form them into a hierarchy of better or worse than each other. They are all part of God's plan and human condition. Neither are these loves separate or self-contained in silos. They overlap and complement each other. The first love that Lewis analyzes is affection, storge. Affection covers an array of loves. Like animals, the care of a mother for a baby is a picture of affection. It can exist between man and animals and between different animals with each other. It relies on the expected and the familiar. Lewis describes it as humble. Affection almost slinks or seeps through our lives, he says. It lives with humble, undress, private things, soft slippers, old clothes, old jokes, the thump of a sleepy dog's tail on the kitchen floor. Affection can sit alongside other loves and often does. It's the familiarity of the people with whom you are thrown together in the family, the college, the mess, the ship, the parish, says Lewis. The affection for the people always around us in the normal day-to-day of life is the majority of the love we experience, even if we don't label it as such. The second form of love that Lewis notes is friendship, philia. Philia contributes to many words in our English language. For example, the city in America, Philadelphia, is the city of friendship. Friendship was much appreciated in the ancient world. Lewis says, to the ancients, friendship seemed the happiest and most fully human of all loves, the crown of life and the school of virtue. The modern world, in comparison, ignores it. Why? Because we know it's the most time-consuming, the least celebrated, the one we could live without. Perhaps, too, as Lewis says, few value it because few experience it. However, Lewis thinks friendship likely has the closest resemblance to heaven, where we will be intertwined in our relationships. We develop a kinship over something in common, and that longing for camaraderie makes friendship all the more wanted. Friendship must be about something, Lewis says, even if it was only an enthusiasm for chess or dominoes or keeping white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travellers. The third type of love that Lewis notes is romantic love, or what we might call erotic love, and the Greek word is eros. And this is what our current culture most commonly means when we use the word love. Sex may be part of this love, but it is clearly possible to have sex without any element of romantic love being present. But what Lewis is talking about here is not sex per se, but more the experience of being in love. Different than friendship, lovers are always talking to one another about their love and are normally face-to-face, absorbed in each other, says Lewis. The danger in romantic love is to follow blindly after this feeling of passion. Then we celebrate the passion and think its absence means such love has died. Certainly true romance is not so fickle, though the feeling is useful. The event of falling in love is of such a nature that we are right to reject as intolerable the idea that it should be transitory, says Lewis. In one high bound, it has overleaped the massive wall of our selfhood. It has made appetite itself altruistic, tossed personal happiness aside as a triviality, and planted the interests of another in the center of our being. Spontaneously and without much effort, we have fulfilled the law towards one person at least, by loving our neighbor as ourselves. It is an image, a foretaste of what we must become to all if love himself rules in us without a rival. There's a reason scripture teaches this bond of man and woman from Genesis onward is the picture of God's love for the world and Christ's love for his bride, the church. When the Beatles sang "All You Need Is Love," it's this kind of romantic and erotic love that they were talking about. Finally, Lewis turns his attention to what he calls charity, God's unconditional love, the Greek word agape. And this word is used 8 times in today's reading from John 15. This is an unconditional love of the Father given to us through the Son. Affection, friendship, and romantic love are each the training ground for charity to grow, and it can also be a rival to these three natural loves. Yet we are made to love and are in want of it. If we play it safe, we're not living out the gospel, but burying the coin in the ground, as the parable says. Lewis reminds us, there is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything or anyone, and your heart will certainly be subject to sorrow and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and distress of love is hell. The Simon and Garfunkel song, I Am a Rock, expresses some of this feeling of wishing to withdraw from hurt and pain. Hiding in my room, safe within my tomb, I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Lewis notes that if we decide that perhaps love is not worth the sorrow and pain, then we are being more pagan than Christian. In contrast, the unconditional agape love that is a characteristic of God is wildly generous, abundant, and overflowing. The Father loved Jesus this way, and Jesus loved his disciples in the same way. Jesus modeled this love in his relationship with his disciples. And Jesus goes further. He commands us to love each other this way. As we've read just now, John 15, 12 and 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And now this is a very big ask. Given that the church has people in it we may find difficult to get along with, let alone love. But God can give us the grace to love the people in our community of faith, even the difficult people. And it's not something we have to try and do on our own. To sum up, in his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis starts with the 1 John assertion that God is love. He then unpacks this definition of love into four types, three natural types, affection, friendship, and romantic and erotic love, and one supernatural type, agape, which he calls charity. Lewis argues that all of these types overlap and come from God. If we're fortunate, we experience all of these types of love as part of our life here on this earth. Lewis also states clearly that the three natural loves are incomplete without the fourth love, supernatural love, agape, which is true love in a way that the other three reflect but are only shadows of. So the Beatles were absolutely correct when they sang, all you need is love. Love, which includes God's unconditional love, is really all we need.